G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 4. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall and Carl Diorio. Well, Joel, it's an emotional weekend for many racing fans, especially those who have grown up over the last 35 years, with Darren Gauchi an absolute constant in the world of Australian racing, and it all comes to an end at Caulfield on Saturday.
Yeah, it's the end of an era, that's for sure. He's just ridden a winner on Thursday as we go to record on this podcast. He's just ridden a winner, so might be his last winner, or he might get another one. He's got, three or four rides Saturday? Four, is it?
Three.
Of course, one for Lloyd and one for the old firm Team Hawks in the last race. So fitting that he rides in the Darren Gauchi Farewell Handicap for Team Hawks, who, of course, he enjoyed so much success with.
Yes, indeed. Carl, what do you think? Do you think the Gauch is a chance to bow out a winner on, I guess, the main chances would be Longeron or the Goodwill for Lloyd Williams and Team Hickmott there?
Yeah, the other one's Miss Gidget. I don't mind Goodwill. I've put it on top to win. I think it was a real eye-catching Australian debut. Bombed the start, got a long way back and strong through the line. So I think it can run the cheeky race of each way odds. And I put Longeron in for second behind my best bet of the day. We'll go forward, put itself up on the speed. There doesn't look to be too much pace on paper, and geez, won't it be a big roar at the 200-metre mark if Darren's horse kicks a length clear after leading it? It might just be a fairy tale finish, but fairy tales don't often come true.
No, but they do occasionally, so we can always hope. Now, there are three black-type races at Caulfield on Saturday, the Gauch not riding in any of them, and there's also the $250,000 Inglis Premier, so we'll start with that, race four. 1200 metres, level weights, there's a couple of winners, and there's four first starters, John.
Yes, I'm not overly sort of keen on the two-year-old races, but I'm just going to play a couple of first starters that are going to be decent odds. Evil Cry, I liked his trial back in the spring at Cranbourne. He went to the line under a hold. Quite well bred this galloper, and I think Mark Zara to ride is a good pointer for Robbie Lang, so I'm going to take a throw at the stumps with Evil Cry from one Jukebox, who looked good on debut. Six Coppergate liked his recent trial, and eight Wanted Harmony in for fourth, has a bit of breeding on his side. And speaking to Sean Mathrett this week, he thought the horse could run a cheeky race.
Coppergate on top for me, draws barrier one. Troll on Monday, it was good at Geelong. Son of Helmet, Sire of Limestone, that key blue diamond contender. Tony McAvoy's had great success with the two-year-olds the past 18 months, so I've got him on top to beat Jukebox, who won impressively on debut, but time wasn't anything flash, so maybe a little bit vulnerable at the price, but due to get every chance from barrier 5. Third number 10, Ellis Island. Those jump outs have been good, but it draws the car park for debut. And for fourth, I've put in number 2, Perast.
Yeah, well, Perast for me. I think Paul Perry just comes down here and picks up this money. Love the winners, love the ones that would be giving him weight in a handicap in these level weights races. Well drawn, I reckon, just wins, but I could be wrong. Race 5 at Caulfield on Saturday, Ladbrokes Chairman Stakes. 1,000 metres for two-year-olds. This one, obviously, the Inglis Premier, restricted to horses sold at Inglis sales, possibly even the Inglis Premier itself. Ladbrokes Chairman Stakes, open, of course, and Group 3, Joel.
If I put another first starter on top here, probably a better chance if they elect to go to the Valley on Friday night, but number 9, Peristrophe, has had good grounding, plenty of jump outs, trials, and I think he's shown ability in a couple of them. A couple of them, you know, have looked better than others, but I think there's some ability there, and by Your Song, who's I think a promising young stallion. I've got him ahead of one Aspect, who looked good on debut in the spring. 5, Formality, bolted away with her debut win, and 4, Time Awaits, looked good winning in Adelaide.
Pageantry on top for me, an impressive debut winner at Seymour, won in very slick time. Draws barrier 3, it opens up around about, well, $15, it's come into about $10s now, and I still think that's quite generous. I can't really see Pageantry missing a place. Safe each way better. Head of Formality, number 5, who led throughout, won easily, well-bred, looks the logical danger. Third number 1, Aspect, who was that great debut winner in the Maribyrnong Plate. And the fourth, I've put in number 2, Feng Shu, who's also entered for sale on Sunday. Thought Feng Shui would run the nice race on debut, which it did, but I don't think it's improved over the break. If you're looking for it to kind of springboard and what it's done over the spring, I don't think it will. So, yeah, maybe that just put it in as a place chance.
Formality for me, 5 to beat 1 Aspect, 4 Time Awaits, 3 Spoils. And the next of the group, Black Type races is race 7 at Caulfield on Saturday. That's the Ladbrokes Manfred Stakes, group 3 for 3-year-olds over 1,200, Joel.
I went with 6 Darren. We've seen him win impressively at this venue. He tackled strong 3-year-old company, a couple of group 1s during the spring. I think he'll be primed to run really well here from a good gate. From 9 Wasn't Me, who was pretty consistent through the spring without winning, 2 Haydock and 1 Morton's Fork.
Yeah, also with Darren on top here, the blinkers come off. That may just help him to relax and race a bit more tractably. He's sure to get over a little bit further this campaign, but from Barrier 3, Jerome's got a beautiful run. He looks the one to beat from 1 Morton's Fork. Ditto with him, I'm sure he'll be suited out to 1,400, perhaps even further. Third, number 2, Haydock. And for 4th, number 11, Into Orbit.
4 for me, my value bet, Inside Agent, to beat 1 Morton's Fork, 2 Haydock, and 6 Darren. Last of the black type races at Caulfield is race 8, Lapine Funerals WJ Adams Stakes, 1,000 metre listed event.
I went with the top weight, Fartanar, unbeaten first up, has the class edge, does give a fair bit of weight to most of the rivals, but I think will be very hard to beat from 3 Miss Promiscuity, pretty consistent mare, just going to need a bit of luck from that gate. 8 Lady Esprit I thought could measure up and run a decent race. He's in form, mares can often run well in these sorts of stakes races. And 4 Divine Ten in for 4th, there was a bit of mail around for him. His first run in Oz, and not everything went to plan, but it might be an improver.
Fadnar for me as well. That wide barrier coupled with the big weight is the concern, but he's got panels on the opposition, so if he can manage to sustain his effort under those circumstances, he'll be hard to beat. Got him ahead at 6 by Rather, draws the inside. Forgetful run at Flemington, clearly doesn't handle the straight track course there, but still ran the second best last 200 of the race last time. So, you know, if he gets his way around Caulfield, he'll be in the finish. For 3rd, number 2, Thermal Current, who won that Flemington race last time. And then for 4th, I've put in number 3, Miss Promiscuity, who's probably a bit below her best at the moment.
And unanimous on go for Fartanar, 2, number 1, to beat 3, Miss Promiscuity, 2, Thermal Current, 4, Divine 10. My best, as indicated earlier, race 4, number 2, Parast, and my value bet, as also indicated, race 7, number 4, Inside Agent. John?
I made my best, Cool Schnitzel. Just got to be forgiving. She didn't appear to have come up last time in, but a recent jump out looked pretty sharp, and Linda Meach usually has a pretty good record with the stable, and you go back to her best form where she beat Heatherly. She's clearly good enough for this benchmark 78, and just banking on that she's come back this prep, and by the looks of the jump out, she looks that she has, so I'll go with her. Charlie Boy, my value, race 9, number 1. Class galloper, didn't mind his first up run on Magic Millions Day. Now with Kieran Marso on the home track here, and pretty well in and after the claim, 57 kilos for a Group 1 place getter, I think at around $9 or $10, he'll give you a good side each way.
Well, our selections are in the same race. You've gone with Cool Schnitzel, I've gone with Invincible Heart, race 6, number 7 is my value selection. Similar sort of logic, forgiving of recent poor runs and hoping that she can turn it around and find her best form. She was well supported in betting 10s into 7 first up at Flemington 3 weeks ago, I should say, and just didn't fire at all. The jump outs leading into that were good. On her best form, she's right in it. She's beaten Fadnar over 1,000 metres down the Flemington straight. She's highly competitive against some real decent opposition in her 3-year-old season. So on her best form, I think she's a great chance. And Duke of Brunswick in the last, race 9, number 5. Caulfield 1,400, third up. He should just be absolutely cherry ripe to go, and he's going to get a beautiful run from Barrier 3. He's never finished worse than 5th. From 24 starts, actually done it once, sorry. So once from 24 starts, that's incredibly consistent.
Yep, I'm with Duke of Brunswick as well. Randwick, Royal Randwick, is the venue for Sydney Racing on Saturday, as they'll be celebrating the announcement of their new $10 million race, the Everest, coming up on Caulfield Guineas Day. What do we think about that, Carl?
yeah, it's not a fan of it. But I reckon, you know, Victorians could come up with a four-year-old championship to counter it. You know, they could put up maybe a 1400-metre race in the second week of March and maybe a 1600-metre race on Caulfield Guineas Day, eligible for four-year-old horses only, and maybe, you know, make the stud owners and the stallions put up half the cash and the clubs put up half, and we could have a real bumper four-year-old series that maybe is something slightly better.
Well, I'm prepared to give the Everest a go. I mean, it's not costing them anything, is it, apparently? Apparently they're going to make up the rest of the shortfall with sponsorship and other revenue, so
because
the participants can't complain too much, even the ones that have got no hope of ever running in the race.
The jockey scenario will be interesting, won't it? Most of the big guns won't want to be down here for Guineas Day, but if they've got a leading fancy for a $10 million race...
Essentially, though, I guess it's the rich, really rich participants. I mean, even, let's say, if you worked at Leo Chautauqua, you'd be probably a bit wary of buying in the $1.8 million straight away. You'd have to be a stud or someone with a serious amount of money behind you.
Yeah, well, I mean, they'll sell the spots, won't they? Probably. You would think that they'd... In fact, you'd pretty much think they would have had them stitched up before they announced it. And one of those spots could sort of sponsor Chautauqua in the race. So they say, you know, we'll split this prize money, you know, 70-30, 60-40, 50-50, whatever. Yeah.
Interesting concept. It's certainly going to add a little bit more spice into the spring carnival. But if I was Victoria, I wouldn't be hitting the panic button just yet.
Oh, well, no one needs to panic. I mean, as Victoria has been saying, it could. I mean, if it does happen to attract sprinters from overseas, then why wouldn't they just stick around for the Victorian Carnival as well? Interesting times. Randwick, speaking of interesting times, features the most prestigious race of the weekend in Australia, and that's the Group 2 China Horse Club Breeders Classic. In the NRL, State's winning post has got Danish Twist on the front. Joel, I assume that's because you think she's going to win first up.
Yeah, I'm with her. She's a very good mare. She really blossomed this time last year, of course, winning the provincial championship. And she came back in the spring and didn't win, but she ran three good races. She was excellent first up, just shaded in the Wait for Age Premier Stakes. The winner was Take Down, went on to win a Group 1, and second was Our Boy Malachi, who went on to win a Group 2. And her run at Caulfield was excellent, and then she went to the Group 1 Meyer and was beaten about a length and a half in a close finish. So she's a talented mare. She's had the two trials. She looks ready to go. I think she'll be very, very hard to beat. I've thrown in 8 in her time for second, a real up-and-comer. Short enough. I think she was shorter earlier in the week. They're just starting to push her out a bit now. But look, not well-placed at the weights, looking at her rating, but she's a progressive sort, and I don't mind the form lines around the likes of Bonnie O'Reilly and Raymond. Two pretty promising types themselves. 4 Egyptian Symbol can probably bounce back from her Gold Coast miss, and 1 French Emotion will be hitting the line late.
Yeah, I've gone within her time. The price is slightly more backable than it was earlier in the week. It's now getting out to an each-way quote, and it might even get out a little bit further. In saying that, both wins this campaign have been impressive, but the trial victory at Newcastle, albeit not beating much, just the manner in which she did it, got back off the speed and broke 33 seconds for her last 600. She's flying. She's in the best form of her career, and I'll be curious to see if she can measure up. So I'm just going to tip her on an each-way basis from Danish Twist and Egyptian Symbol, and also I'm Zalady. They're the proven commodities in the race, and I'm sure they'll be in the finish as well.
Earlier in the day at Randwick, race 2 is a listed event. It is the Hinchinbrook Plate for 2-year-olds at level weights, 1,100 metres, Joel.
Yeah, I'll be having 2 bets in this race. 1, Veronillo, very keen on him. He looked the goods prior to the debut. It was a really good debut. He still looked a bit green and new to it all, but he got the job done nicely. He's trialled well leading into this. I think he'll be very hard to beat. 12, Grasslands, is a filly I've got a fair bit of time for, and I think as the distances get a bit longer, she'll probably improve a bit more. She's also in a Canterbury on Friday night, so just to be wary there, if she runs there, I think she might be worth a bet. 4, Eden Rocks, probably the other main chance. Was short enough first start in a race, the close relative to Star Turn, and he did get beaten, but I thought he ran well enough and he should take good benefit from that. And a 6 Mossman Gorge next best, who is also in a Canberra on Friday. So a few dual acceptors amongst the slot, but 1 on top, Veronillo.
Same numbers in that same order for me, 1, 12, 4 and 6. Veronillo is actually my best bet of the day, and Right at this stage is probably my horse to beat in the Golden Slipper. I think
50-1 he is. Good
bet,
yeah,
I think his debut win was excellent. He sat outside a very fast tempo on the soft track, and I think he was wayward because he was out on his feet. So I'm sure he'll improve off that run. His recent trial was good, and I think his racing style is actually going to suit James Doyle as well. He's going to be very, very hard to topple on the weekend.
And the other black type race at Randwick on Saturday is race 6, the Australian Chinese Jockey Club Eskimo Prince Stakes, 1200 Group 3 for 3-year-olds, Joel.
Yeah, I've gone two Guard of Honour, just going with the horse that's got a run under his belt. They rode him quieter first up, and whilst he was disappointing if you backed him as favourite, I thought he worked home pretty well, and he was giving a decent amount of weight to both first and second there. He will strip fitter, as I said, and just hoping he can catch these others a bit off guard. I think he is good enough. 3 Ome Swords, a top-class filly, and she was so good over this distance first up in the spring. Hugh Bowman, would have had the pick. He clearly has gone with Ome Sword, and probably the right call, certainly for the future. One coming through's top class. I think he'll win a big race through the autumn, maybe not Saturday, 1200. Just a bit sharp, perhaps, and 4 Bezel, next best.
Oh, my sword for me. I think, unbeaten from both first up runs. She was really impressive first up last prep at 1200 metres as well. Recent trials been very good. Not asked to do anything but travelling strong on the bridle by High Chaparral, but we know she can sprint well. So I've got her on top ahead of Guard of Honour, who looks the main danger. I wasn't disappointed with her first up run like Hugh Bowman was. Hugh Bowman was quite. He was questioned about the run after the race, and he was a bit of a smart aleck to the journalist after the race, by all reports. I think the run was good off a sit sprint tempo, and extra run under his belt, I'm sure it'll improve out to the 1200. For third number one coming through, no doubt will improve over further, and the same applies for 4 Bezil.
All right, well, Carl, as you indicated, race 2, number 1, Veronillo, was your best at Randwick on Saturday, and you and Joel are in agreement about your value bet, and that is race 9, number 10, Art Nouveau.
Art Nouveau is a very talented 4-year-old, trained by John O'Shea for the Godolphin clan. First up from a spell, ran best last 600 over 1200 at Canterbury, and then last start got back in a stop-start affair, totally unsuited by the tempo, and was a little bit one pace to the line. So the blinkers have gone back on, third up to 1400. All his wins have been with the blinkers on. These two runs, this campaign, he hasn't carried the blinkers. So expecting a bit of improvement, I think he's a great chance at 15-1 in a pretty even race.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, Barks, I'm in agreement. Blinkers is a key, yeah, especially with this Medaglia d'Oro breed, and he gets them on third up, big improver. He is my value. As you said, my best is I'm a Nui, race 8, number 12. Toss up between him and Danish Twist as my best, but we'll make it I'm a Nui. I think he's ready to win. He's had the two runs back. They've both been in 1400 metre races, haven't been run overly quickly, and he's hit the line well, especially last start. He was charging and he would have won in another stride. He gets up to the mile. Pretty competitive race. There's a few chances, but I think he'll be very hard to beat.
In Adelaide, they're racing on the Parks track for races 1 to 6, and then the main track for races 7 and 8, Carl. And you're saving your specials for the course proper.
That's right. Not that that had anything to do with it. It's more got timing as to just my level of staking at the end of the day. But Mail Within, race 7, number 5. Model of consistency. Won't know himself carrying 54 kilos. It's just a real treat for him. And the opposition isn't overly strong here. I just think he'll get the job done. Last race, race 8. Well, all eyes were on Murty, leaving throughout a few weeks ago. I thought he was a good thing that day. I'm just jumping ship slightly. I've got him in for second. I think Viceroy can topple him. Race 8, number 9. That horse is coming off some pretty positive Victorian form, a third behind Snitson and Portman. And then last time, had every chance in the lead, but was overrun by Land of Freedom, I should say, who goes all right. Hasn't won since October 2015, but this might just be the easy kill he needs.
Just one for me, Peninsula Lynx, race 5, number 2. Listeners will know I'm a fan of this horse. Good, strong win, fighting off the canvas last start. She missed a run last week. They had her in a race that got deleted off the program, but I think stick with her.
Eagle Farm, the venue for Brisbane racing on Saturday, Joel, and we're picking up some big bucks early with race one, number four, Skytrek.
Yeah, I made him my value bet. He backs up from last Saturday at the Sunshine Coast. Came away from the fence, sort of coming to the turn, and found himself in traffic, and then sort of the race passed him by. But I thought he hit the line quite well the last 100 metres. Steps up from the 1800 to the 2212. That'll suit. 3 kilo claim helps. And look, it's probably going to be a dry track. He's won on firm ground, so that's okay. But if there was a bit of rain, I'd be more confident. But I'm still keen on him at an each way price. And my best bet is another horse on the backup from last week, and that's Glendara, race 7, number 9. He went round at the Sunshine Coast Cup over 1400, just got too far back. He was hitting the line well late, as he was at his prior run over 1300 on Magic Millions Day. He gets to the mile, he's had 6 goes at it for 2 wins and 3 placings. His only miss was when they went very fast speed up front, and it was a forgive run. I think he'll be very hard to beat on Saturday.
Ascot, once again, the venue for Perth racing. What do you like there?
Going with Real Icon as my best, race 7, number 4. He's had the 2 runs back at the Provincials from a long spell, and they've both been good. He's only gone down narrowly in tight finishes. He's drawn barrier 2 here. I think he's up to this tougher class. He's been lightly raced over the past 18 months. Obviously had an issue or two, but he's pretty consistent. I think he'll run really well. And my value bet is the stable mate, just hoping he can show something like his best, and that's Son of Something, race 4. Number 3, he was a formerly pretty good stayer. He's another one who's been lightly raced over the past couple of years. He's had the 3 runs back the last couple over the mile. Out to 2200, he gets his chance to improve back to back to his best. And if he's anywhere near it, he'll be very hard to beat.
All right, earlier in the day, the Trentham Carnival is over, but New Zealand racing goes on, and there is a good race at Tarapa in the North Island, and that is race 7, the Darcy Brahma Waikato Guineas, a group 2.
Yeah, really good race, of course, for the 3-year-olds en route to the Derby. I've gone with 6 Charsoy Bow, who hit the line really well over a mile last start at Ellerslie. I think he's looking for the extra distance from a good gate. He'll give you a good sight each way to beat 3 Windspell, who's continues to get back and run on. Why barriers haven't helped him throughout his career. He's drawn better in gate 6, so that can help his cause. 1 Hall of Fame coming off the Group 1 win by Savabeel. I think 2000 will probably be okay. And 17, a real roughie, sure he can. If he gets a run, he's a maiden. But he's crying out for this distance, I think, and is one to include at a big price. My best bet for Tarapa is Dream Crafter, race 5, number 6. Had performed well with a couple of minor placings, and then really sort of improved. Went to that next level last start, winning her maiden. She bolted in. I think she can win again, and my value bet is Toby, race 2, number 1. Bit of a work in progress, this horse. He's a bit green, got a bit to learn. This is his first go going left-handed. Maybe that'll sort him out, but he's got a bit of ability. The third first up behind Night's Watch is a pretty good form line for this sort of a race, and if he can find that run, he'll be hard to beat. The other meeting down in the south is Wingatui. My best bet is Son of Ma. He went round in the Group 1 Thorndon Mile last week, had a tough run. His prior effort was good. Back down to the south, he'll be very hard to beat. And my value bet is Don't Poke the Tiger, which is in race 4, the Dunedin Guineas, number 7. This filly stepped up from the 1200 to the mile last start. It was a little bit of a concern, but she did it well. She beat older horses, she went forward, and she was strong through the line. 1500 metres, I think that'll be fine. This is probably a bit tougher in saying that. It's back to 3-year-old company. She can run well at an each-way price.
Okay, that takes care of a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Needless to say, your winning post covers more than that. We've got Friday night, we've got a doubleheader, Moonee Valley and Canterbury. Moonee Valley's big Chinese New Year meeting, the Poon Train, Moonee Valley. And then Saturday, our usual coverage. And Sunday, 4 more big meetings, including Sale Quality Day and Hobart Cup Day. And in fact, it is the Hobart Carnival this week. We've also got your fields, colours and tips for Tasmanian Derby Day on the Friday, a twilight meeting. Carl, very hard to see the Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott trained Northwest Passage get rolled in the Derby itself after after a, such a convincing win in the lead-up race.
It was, and he went a pretty nice price in the main lead-up there, didn't he? It was the Hobart Guineas. I think he was like $2.30 or something like that. That's not a price that's going to be available on the weekend. It'll be long odds on, and he'll be winning. French Schnitzel and I get to it. They look the main dangers to my eye. I think French Schnitzel was quite courageous up in the pace. He was a victim of circumstances, I felt, over the 2040 at Mooney Valley. A few horses inexperienced that trip, over-raced and applied pressure. And yeah, I thought he was fantastic on that occasion. Boat Mistress, well, surprising. Nice money, nice black type as well for mares. And we've got three interstate visitors who might just raffle the black type between them. I love it to beat Loyuba and Ocean Embers, but surprised there's not enough, not as many, I should say, a Victorian contingent. I love its recent jump outs, have been very, very good. She won this race 2 years ago. Last year she was touched off in the photo finish, and she's absolutely cherry ripe to give this race one heck of a shake on Friday night.
And on Sunday, of course, the highlight is the Group 3 Luxbet Hobart Cup Race 8. Not the strongest Hobart Cup field that's ever been assembled. And you would certainly think that the Victorians, Big Duke for Darren Weir, looking for his fifth Hobart Cup, and Cool Chap for the Freedmans, do look to have a bit of a mortgage on it. And you reckon that Cool Chap can turn the tables on Big Duke, Carl?
I do. He met him, he met him 4 kilos better at the weights, and I really felt that ride by Boris Thornton last time Mooney Valley was an excellent ride. He took off early. He's got a sharper turn of foot than Big Duke, Cool Chap. He's more push button, so that might work to his advantage tactically in this race around the Hobart track. And I just feel with that weight advantage and that more push button sort of makeup of the horse, it might just allow him to topple Big Duke, who once he's wound up, he sure certainly will be attacking the line. They look the main two. I'd be very, very surprised if the winner comes outside those two.
Alrighty, well, there are three listed events on the Hobart card as well. Full form for all that on Sunday, although there are, certainly Admiral looks to have a mortgage on race six. Although, you never know. He does look like getting rolled occasionally, so he may well do so, although that pretty much this is what he does over summer, is just win these Wait for Ages races in Tassie. Hot Dip, the local unbeaten this time in, but has come up with barrier 13 for the Strut Stakes, the fillies lead up to the Oaks, and you reckon she's going to get rolled by yet another Freedman thing, Carl?
Blue Ocean. It's well bred, Blue Ocean. It's a Coolmorn filly, and the mare, I'm just trying to think, is it related to a Lingy or Ocean? There's some really good pedigree behind it. It does escape me. I'll keep talking.
Is that a Perfect Persuasion?
Yeah, it might be possibly from that family, but it's certainly very well bred, and looks like a lead up the distance as well.
And the other one is earlier, the race five, the Priceline Elwick Stakes for the two-year-olds. You and I both with Daraza for the local stable of Barry Campbell. That leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. As mentioned, we've got all that great form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday. We are really building back into the Australian season. The silly season is over. Winx is back next week. First Group 1 next week. And meantime, you've just kept winning by backing my $20 bet of the week. Well, I went against my best bet last week, didn't I? And I went for something. What won the last at
Hipparcus.
Now, this week I'll just wait and see what Carl's going for, because that will affect my selection. What is your $20 bet, Carl?
I'm not confident at all. I'll go with Invincible Heart, race 6, number 7 on an each way basis.
John?
I'm going to Eagle Farm, so that should be all right for you, Barks. Race 7, number 9, Glendara.
Yes, well, I was tossing up between Perest at Caulfield, but since Carl has not gone for Duke of Brunswick, I will go for Duke of Brunswick. Race 9, number 5, Duke of Brunswick. Have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.